7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with another amazing Croc podcast serving the most brave and courageous cancer survivors in the universe. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer. Angel, how are you, my friend?
I am feeling good. I am ready with the rain that we've had. I am ready to blossom and grow.
There you go. Middle of winter, but we're getting through. And boy, I have to tell you, Angel, I am so excited about this, what would you say, mini series we're having about finding yourself and really keying in on who you are as a person. And once you figure that out, how we could help our survivors then become the person or people they want to be. And I have to tell you, I'm basically, you know, did you ever see a kid, on a skateboard sort of hitching a ride behind a car? They kind of snag the fender and or the bumper and they just kind of get a free ride. I feel like I'm getting a free ride on this series of podcasts on finding yourself, because I think that this subject is important. I think it's timely. And I think it doesn't just serve our survivors. I think it serves people like you and I as well.
Absolutely. As I stated before, this is a very relatable, as if all of our podcasts are, but this one is really, I think, it really hits the nail on the,
you know, on the proverbial head. There you go. So for those of you who were not with us last week when we did our introduction to finding yourself or, finding the person that you want to be, we basically did a, I guess the reason it came to us, Angel, was in the process of doing our podcast, we were sort of peripherally hitting on this subject, but not exactly. And you said, why don't we do a series on finding yourself and finding the person you want to be, or finding the person who you are, and then trying to make you into the person that you want to be. And I just thought that was such a great idea. And last week we did a general introduction. And I think what I said, and I mean this, is that we're going to basically take a free ride on cancer's expense. So our survivors have gotten through the trauma of their diagnosis, they've gotten through the trauma of their treatments, and they're in their survivorship and they're getting through and, you know, dealing with all the things that are inherent in that said survival. And they're so ripe because the trauma that they've been through has then taken away that veneer of deception, that veneer of denial, that veneer of untruth that we all, you know, pull over our eyes to get through a day. That's not there anymore. So what a great opportunity for our survivors to really dig deep and find out who they are, how they became who they are, and how they can become who they want to be. And I think that's what we're going to do today in episode 2. We're going to be confronting our past. Now, Angel, I have to be honest with you. This podcast, we went through a lot of incarnations to get to where we are now, rounding the corner of our 100th episode. And we found that being too pedantic, being too academic, being too, you know, formal just doesn't work for us.
Right.
And as such, I think that that is correct. I think that you and I are regular folk, and we're talking to regular folk. So we're going to talk to regular folk using regular folk language. So a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today when we talk about confronting our past, there's a lot of psychobabble out there, and we're not going to even go near it. But just to put it out there, mm-hmm. you know, we have so many different theories on childhood development. We have Freud's psychosexual development, Erikson's psychosocial development. We have B.F. Skinner's behavioral theories. We have Piaget's cognitive developmental theories. We have attachment theories. We have a million different theories, but we're not going to go down that road. If our amazing survivors / thrivers want to learn about that, I'm sure we could find a podcast series from psychologists and psychiatrists or people that are actually analysts who might be able to be, more, I guess, knowledgeable about those things. But we're going to be very simple and very straightforward and transparent about how we're going to, endeavor this this journey to find ourselves, and we're going to kind of cut that out. So I did want that disclaimer, so everyone knows that we do know about these theories, but we're not going to bring them up. And the other thing I wanted to say, and this is really true, I didn't feel this way just when I started thinking about how to put this module together, but it has always astounded me that things that happen to us when we're young. Now I'm 62. What are you, about 22, Angel?
I wish. I'll be 45 this year.
So, I mean, things that happened to us when we were really young, have made tremendous, what would you say, formulations on who we are now as people. Mm-hmm. And it astounds me that something that happened to me decades ago still affects the person that I am. And I had dinner with a dear friend this past week, and we were sitting down, and he, really opened up to me. I'm not going to tell you his name, but he gave me a couple of examples. He was going through some post-traumatic stress things, and he was mentioning a couple of things that happened to him as a kid, really? Some of which were parental, some of which were peer related. Something as simple as him being the right person for a spot on the football team, and he was overlooked for someone who was inferior. Just something like that you would look at now in our old age and say, okay, well, they picked the other guy. Okay, what's the big deal? It was a big deal. I mean, it really shaped who this guy is and who he was and how he became who he is. And he's a tremendous guy, and he's no dummy. Right. So, I mean, it's really quite fascinating that this is a real thing. So when we talk to our survivors, thrivers about, trying to find out who they are as people, who they are really, not just who they portray themselves to be every day, but who they truly are foundationally. We do have to confront our past, and we have to look at some of these dragons and demons that probably have shaped us. And the other thing we said last week was the person that you think you are, you're probably not that person. You're probably right. Not even close to being the person that you think you are. And I don't say that in a bad way. And we're going to actually have one of our module units will be on deception and perception, how we deceive ourselves and how we need to perceive ourselves rather than deceive ourselves. So that's a talk for another day. But do you notice that too, Angel, that when you talk to friends, and it's really simple and easy to see, to become an armchair psychiatrist to a buddy, who's going through a hard time, or a girlfriend, or a friend, or a nephew, or a niece, or whatever, right. Or a child, and you look at them and you say, well, this is simple. All you got to do is this, this, and this, or well, how could you not see that? Do you see the deep, the seismic, right? The volcanic, the earth shattering influences that our childhood has on our adulthood.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we can easily say that at one point in our lives, we were always going to say, we don't want to sound like our parents. Right. But when we get to that age and we start doing and saying the same things that were said to us, we realize, uh-oh, we're there. So it's a difficult situation to be in or can be in.
Yeah, no question about it. My gosh, it's profound. And the other thing that I wanted to say was that we talk about all of these famous psychologists and all of these theorists, mm-hmm. But really, we're going to keep it simple, like we always do. We're going to talk about two things, the two S's, and I think that this is the thing that is missing and creates some of the negative aspects of our persona. And that's the lack of safety and security and the lack of self-esteem. And that's all related to how we're brought up. And again, everything is relative, right? So the first thing I say is that when you have a baby, there is no instruction manual, right? You buy a car, there's an instruction manual. May not be a good one, but there is one. You buy a microwave oven from Frigidaire. And oh, there, yeah, exactly. That's another story for another day. But There's an instruction manual, but you have a baby, there's no instruction manual.
Right.
And the other thing is, if in an ideal world, if we're all robots and we're all perfect, and then we could probably raise children safely, securely, make them feel loved, individuate them, let them sort of make their own mistakes with safety and boundaries, and let them grow into these really evolved and amazingly self-secure and reliant individuals and little human units. But we're human and we screw our kids up. There's a standing joke, you know, that you should save money for your kids' education, and you should save money for your kids' psychiatrist that they'll need when they're grown up, because of all the things you've done to them. Everything is relative. I've always shared on this podcast my personal struggles as a kid with a dad who was an alcoholic and abusive, and you know, him dying young, and my mom who was overly controlling and judgmental, where nothing was ever good enough. And then you put together some harsh economics, you know, having a weight problem and not being that athletic in the inner city, you know, growing up in the projects, you know, it certainly was not exactly fun being a kid for me.
Right.
But then again, you look at some of these people on Earth who have had to deal with being a refugee, some of the people that had to leave their homelands, otherwise they would be killed, or to have watched their parents be killed or slaughtered, or to have watched murder, or to grow up in a crack house, or have a parent who's a criminal or in jail or something like that. So I always thought, you know, hey, I can kind of understand how I became who I became, you know, with my environment and the way I was raised. And sometimes I will have some anger and some, you know, unresolved issues with parents. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And I think that the way we would talk to our survivors would be, you know, to keep it all in perspective, that your parents probably did the best job they could.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm sure there are survivors/thrivers out there who have had ghastly upbringings. And then we have those survivors/thrivers who have had wonderful upbringings, you know, with very good parents who made them feel safe and secure and develop their sense of self-esteem. So again, everything is relative. And I think these are the stories that we want you guys to start investigating. We want you to be the author and the biographer of your own upbringing. And once we're encouraging you to do this, maybe you journal it, maybe you blog it, maybe you contact your siblings and you say, let's talk about how it was when we were kids. You know, my favorite podcast is challenging me to find out who I really am and who the person that I want to be, and how to become that person. Tell me about dad and mom. Dad worked really hard, right? Mom,
yeah,
you know, was this, or mom was that, or mom was insecure, or mom used to get mad at us, or dad, you know, had a girlfriend and we didn't know about her, you know, or they were wonderful. We went on a vacation every day, every year. And, you know, dad was home for dinner. Dinner was a family event every night at 6 o'clock, and we had enough food and enough money. And, you know, life was peachy, and I was the chief cheerleader, and my brother was the captain of the football team, or whatever.
Nice.
Whatever your narrative is, I think that's important, because really, in order to uncover who we are and why we act the way we do, we have to know our own story, in essence. Being brave and willing to explore our past is an important stepping stone on the road to understanding ourselves and becoming who we want to be. There is research, Angel, that has shown that it isn't just the things that happen to us that define who we are, but how much we've made sense of what's happened to us. So unresolved traumas, and we're going to talk about how to resolve these traumas in a future episode, inform the ways we act even today. And we call this a coherent narrative. That's what the psychologists call it.
Wow.
And these attitudes and atmospheres that we grow up in have a heavy hand on how we act as adults. As children, people not only identify with our parents, so we literally become our parents, as you jokingly said before we started the podcast,
mm-hmm.
But also not just the good things that our parents were, but some of the bad things our parents were as well.
Yes.
And these destructive personal attacks become part of our developing personalities. And these painful early life experiences determine how we define and defend ourselves. So really, these are the experiences that take, you know, a straight and very, very potentially symmetrical person, you know, or at least the probability or possibility of being that person, and they bend us. These experiences, you know, take us out of line, and they make us geometrically unstable, make us psychically unstable. And this influence on our behavior, we don't even know it's happening. That's why I said in the first podcast, you know, do you really know who you are? And if the answer is yes, you definitely don't know who you are. If the answer is no, at least you have a starting point. And that's really true, because we really don't know. You know, we don't have that self-awareness. And having a harsh parent, again, one of the worst things is having a really judgmental, harsh parent, makes us grow up feeling defensive and perhaps wanting to resist new challenges or afraid, and then developing that anxiety. This, you know, then we become, you know, these clusters. There's three clusters. There's cluster A, where, you know, you have difficulty relating to other people. There's cluster B, where you're emotionally dysregulated. And there's cluster C, where your major personality traits are more anxious and fearsome. You become antisocial and you become withdrawn. And these are the things that we're challenging our survivors/thrivers to write their coherent narrative. Angel, tell me a little bit about your coherent narrative.
You know, I honestly, I'm thinking about everything you're talking about. And for some reason, the path that I'm thinking about for myself is how often I guess you know, the commercial that they have, I hope I say this right. There's a commercial of a specialist that's teaching people not to act like their parents. Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, that's a great commercial, by the way.
That's what keeps playing in my head.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a great example of what we're kind of, you know, talking about. But I also believe that when you said that there's good and then there's a bad. And, you know, I think that most of us at one point in our lives have rented bad behaviors, but you can rent good behaviors. It's what we do with it that makes us who we are today.
And you want to know the coolest thing?
Yeah.
The coolest thing is it's never too late to try to figure out who you are.
Absolutely.
You could be 22, you could be 42, you could be 62, you could be 82. I think there's a lot of respect that goes behind wanting to get better, trying to make yourself better than you are, and having just your limited lifetime to do that. And for our survivors, that limited lifetime has been basically pushed right up into their face. And there's more of an immediacy. There's more of I got to get this done now, because cancer has done this to me. I know that I have this one life to live, and it hasn't been guaranteed that I'll even have tomorrow. So let me leave this world at least knowing who I am and trying to be the person that I want to be. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. A great second, I hope a great second podcast in the series. What are you thinking?
I think it's great. And, you know, again, we hit home again with another deep thought. You know, it's given me more information that I needed, or that I expected, to be honest with you, that maybe I can relate to my show. So, you know, I'm grateful for the knowledge and for the ability to just really channel my inner self to know who exactly I am.
Awesome, Angel. And listen, Angel, you are such a good person. My little brother, my co-host, thank you for everything you do for our survivors/thrivers. You really have a heart of gold, and you're such a deep and spiritual person. I know that everybody listens to this podcast. They love having you on board. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our friend Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up, is out in Arizona while we're here in the cold, dark, damp, wet, rainy, drizzly, icy weather. Rod, I hope you're having a good time, because we're all jealous of you and your family out there in Arizona. Have a good trip. We'll see you next week. our board of directors. God bless you. Thank you for everything you do for our survivors. Thank you for everything you do for us. You give Angel and I direction. You reel us in when we need to be reeled in. You give us really good points, really good criticisms, really good assistance. Thank you for helping us put a product together for our amazing, amazing survivors who really deserve everything. I would like to also take a minute to thank Michael John Benzea. I'd like to thank Charlotte Larson for their support of our broadcast and to get this podcast out to everyone. And of course, we end our podcast by talking to our survivors, giving them just a little bit of a pep talk every week, just letting them know how special they are, how strong they are, how brave they are, how amazing they are. You guys are tough. You guys are worthy. You're special. You're unique. We absolutely love you. You are loved by everyone, by your family, by your coworkers, by your friends. You're brave. You're supported. You are not alone. You are a fighter. You got this. On behalf of myself, Angel Santana, the board of directors at Croc, we wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. May God bless you, be with you. Peace.